Please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark. Mark and chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 40, and we'll read on to verse 45. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved by compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. We continue in our studies of the Gospel of Mark this morning, and there are several things we have already considered together as we have worked through this glorious Gospel. We have considered introductory facts about the Gospel. We have looked at the witness of John the Baptist to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We have reflected on the baptism of Jesus, the temptation of Jesus, the preaching of Jesus concerning the kingdom of God. We have looked at the entering of the kingdom through repentance and faith in the Gospel. We have considered the calling of Jesus' first disciples, as well as Jesus' prayer life and ministry. We've come a long way. This morning, we want to go on and continue to look at the ministry of our Lord, and particularly as we consider Jesus and the healing of the leper, recorded in the passage of Scripture we have just read together. Now, if you are a reader of the Bible, you will know that Matthew and Luke also include this same story in their accounts. We are looking at it from Mark's perspective. Needless to say, we will be free to peep into what Luke and Matthew have to say as well. There are three things I want us to consider together as we reflect on this passage. Three important things. Please observe with me, first of all, the leper. The leper. We read about him here in verse 40. Now, a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." The leper. Several things we want to observe about him. First, he is so called because he suffered from a disease called leprosy. The modern name for leprosy is Hansen's disease. It is an infectious disease caused by the bacteria Mycobacterium leprae. It attacks the nerves. And nerve damage can lead to loss of feeling in the arms and in the legs. It can also lead to muscle weakness. Someone has called it a sort of permanent anesthetic, because it brings a numbness to the body. Those who have leprosy don't feel. There is a numbness to their body. If a leper stepped on a nail, he wouldn't feel anything. If a coal of fire popped out on him, he wouldn't feel any pain. A rat could gnaw his foot while sleeping, and he would never know that it had ever paid him a visit, because his nerves are switched off. So a leper is subject to sores and wounds and infections of all kinds. They usually lose fingers, toes, hands, and even feet. I remember visiting Ethiopia, and when you are driving on the streets of Addis Ababa, one of the things you notice is the numbers of lepers who come to your car begging. No hands. Some of them, no feet. They are on wheelchairs and they survive by begging. No limbs. No hands. Lepers, consequently, live extremely uncomfortable lives. A Christian doctor who became the world-renowned authority on this disease in the 20th century, a man by the name of Dr. Paul Brand, he called the disease a painless hell. Hell is normally painful, I would imagine. Uncomfortable. But here is a hell that is painless. And lepers experience that. The second thing we must note about this man is that he, along with other lepers, would have been considered unclean and unfit for society by virtue of the terrible and contagious nature of their disease. They were often isolated, and according to the law, they also had a duty to protect others. It was said that when there was no wind, a leper needed to be about 1 meter away from the people. But if the wind was blowing, he would have to be about 45 meters away from others. Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 through to 46, captures the requirement of the law in this regard when it says, "Now, the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. He shall cover his moustache and cry, 'Unclean! Unclean!'" It wasn't always the people who watched him who cried that he was unclean. It was demanded by the law that when anybody comes close to him,
he must cry, unclean, unclean.
All the days he has this soul, he shall be unclean. He is unclean. And he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Josephus, the first century historian, says that lepers were treated as if they were dead men. The worst thing about lepers was the fact that there was nothing they could do to be cured. Absolutely nothing. Even the Mosaic law left them helpless. It told them how to avoid others. And what they had to do, if it ever went into remission, but the law did not have any suggestions about how they could be cured. They were in a hopeless situation. It was said that it was easier to raise the dead than to cure leprosy. There was no diet, no medicine, no cure to be found in those days. Their only hope was remission. The disease had to decide on itself, on its own, that it must now disappear. Otherwise, there was no hope. But there is more we must learn about this man. He came to Jesus, an outcast, an unclean man, hopeless. No one would have wanted to be close to him. But we read here in verse 40 that he came to Jesus. He was not allowed to come to anybody, but he came to Jesus. This was a miracle on its own. We do not know how this leper heard of Jesus, but the Gospel of Mark says that Jesus' fame spread abroad throughout all the region of Galilee. Might he have heard about Jesus in this way? Or did a relative encourage him to go and try him out? Might they have heard about Jesus and come to their relative and said, look, we hear there is a man who is healing people. You may want to go and try him out. Whatever the case might have been, he came to Jesus. He left his area of quarantine and came to Jesus. He overcame the odds against him and came to Jesus. In spite of the obstacles facing him, and there might have been many, he made his way toward Jesus. He came to Jesus. Furthermore, we read that he knelt down to Jesus and implored him affectionately, passionately, zealously. He implored him. If he knew the words of Psalm 38, he might have found them applicable to himself. And he might have cried to the Lord, I imagine, I am troubled, I'm bowed down gently, I go moaning all day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh, I am feeble, I'm so broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. He could very easily have uttered such words. Do you implore the Lord with emotion, with passion, as this man does, because he was very conscious of his desperate situation? He knelt down to Jesus and implored him. Another thing we learn about the leper is that he had faith in Jesus. He had faith in Jesus. Listen to him. He says at the end of verse 40, if you are willing, you can make me clean. In this statement, he is not just expressing his belief in the sovereignty of Christ in determining whom he would heal and how he would heal. Just as God determined to heal Naaman, we read about him in Luke chapter 4, in a parallel passage. Naaman was a Gentile, a traditional enemy of the Jews. There were many Jews who suffered from leprosy, and God decided not to heal them. Naaman, this dirty dog, as the Jews might have referred to him, God decided to heal him. You can read about that in 1 Kings. God, in his sovereign prerogative, decided to heal Naaman and not to heal many Jews. He has a right to decide whom he will heal. He has a right to determine how he will heal. And there are many healers in our day today who don't seem to realize this, who don't seem to know this, because they go about commanding Jesus to heal. This man knew better. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So Jesus will choose who he wishes to heal. This reveals that God's mercy is optional. God discriminated, if you like, against all the lepers and chose to heal whom he pleased. He will have mercy on whom he wants to have mercy. And this leper knew this. In this statement, he is also expressing his faith in Jesus' ability to heal. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus had the ability to make him clean. He had heard about it. In chapter 1, verse 28, we are told his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. And Jesus' fame spread because Jesus had just cast out a man. He had cast out demons from a man. Word went around. This was not common. This was not usual. He'd also healed Simon Andrew's mother-in-law. And that was not usual. So his fame spread. The leper might have heard about that. The leper knew Jesus had the ability to heal. And he had faith in that. Observe with me, secondly, The attitude of Jesus toward the leper. The attitude of Jesus toward the leper. And Mark reflects a threefold attitude. The first is that Jesus was moved with compassion for him. In verse 41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus was first moved with compassion. The word translated compassion here could also have been translated as to have the bowels yearn. To have the bowels yearn. That is, to feel sympathy or to have pity. And what Jesus is feeling here is a deep sympathy in the depth of his being. And throughout the New Testament, we find the Lord Jesus Christ showing compassion. When he saw this man, he had a very full understanding of what exactly he was experiencing. He had leprosy. His body was ravaged. His life, in a sense, was destroyed. And even as he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he looked horrible. The Lord must also have seen and known that this man was lonely. He was an outcast. Society treated him as if he was dead. And the Lord looked at him and he was moved to the depth of his being. He was moved with compassion. And what we notice here is that our God is not heartless. He doesn't look at people undergoing suffering and look the other way. He is not an unfeeling God. He is not a heartless God. He is moved with compassion. He is moved to the depth of his being. He is abounding in every grace. He is abounding in affection. He felt sorrow in his heart as he looked at this man. Well, that is how God feels. When you suffer under the consequences of sin, the suffering may be physical. And God looks upon you with compassion. Your suffering may be spiritual. Whatever the case, your suffering is a consequence of sin. And God is not unmoved as he looks at you suffering because of sin. Suffering the consequences of sin. There are many who so suffer because of drunkenness. There are others who suffer because of sexual immorality. There are still others who suffer because of sin of one form or the other. Whatever the case, it is a consequence of sin. And what effects you may be suffering, physical or spiritual, are consequences of sin. And God is moved with compassion. Jesus was. And Jesus is God. Another thing, by way of Jesus' attitude toward the leper, is that he touched the man. That in itself was a miracle. He touched the man. The leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him. Jesus, moved with compassion, we read in verse 41, stretched out his hand and touched him. Touched him. No one was to come within 1 meter of this leper. For everyone would be afraid of contracting the disease. But Jesus not only comes close to him, but he actually stretched out his hand and touched him. He probably hadn't been touched by anyone in years. His own family may not have been so keen on doing it. The dogs, on the other hand, may have licked his sores. Can you imagine a human being not being touched by other human beings for years? No one to hug him. No one to hold him. No one to wipe his tears. No one. Must have been a terrible feeling. But now here at last, a human being touches him. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus did not shrink away from being polluted by the leprosy of this man. Jesus was touched with the feeling of this man's infirmities, and Jesus touched this man. I was recently reading an article by two people, two ladies, Ann Starr and Sarah Joy David, on the use and effectiveness of touch as a means of achieving wellness. In that article they write, and I quote, "Touching and being touched in ways that help us to feel appreciated and cared for is an essential ingredient to an optimal health care program. Parents soothe and nurture children by stroking, cuddling, rocking, and hugging them. Children invite such contact as part of their daily diet, both to meet their basic acceptance needs and for comfort when they are frightened. The same is true for adults," they write. "Gentle, soothing touch at an appropriate time from an appropriate trusted person can be a very effective antidote to the bodily tension induced by daily interpersonal conflicts, noise, assault, and other challenges associated with life on earth. Touch is necessary. Touch expresses care." Did Jesus touch this man because he cared for him? Did his touch indicate that he cared for him? Possibly. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, we are told to cast our cares on God. For Peter reminds his readers, he cares for you. Cast your cares on him,
Because he cares for you. Did this man perhaps sense that although everyone else did not care, that Jesus did? Well, indeed, he did. Jesus became flesh so that he might share in our humanity, so that he might feel something of our burdens. Jesus came to this world and lived with us and experienced society's pressures with us so that he might be touched with the feeling of our infirmities and share in those and reach out to us as he did to this man. He stretched out his hand and touched him. Has he touched you? You may have a worse problem than the leper did and the leper had. The leper knew where to find care and where to find comfort. He went to Jesus, and Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Have you gone to Jesus? Have you come to Jesus? There's a third thing Jesus does. He commanded the man to be cleansed. In verse 41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. And then we read in verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. To his touch, the Savior added the precious words, I am willing, be cleansed. And to be cleansed means to be purged or to be purified. So what Jesus is effectively saying is, I am willing, be purified of your leprosy. And the picture we get is of the leprosy leaving the man immediately, dramatically, and decisively. The horrible disease that had almost brought him to the brink of death was now powerless. The leper had been thoroughly and completely cleansed. What does this teach us about Christ? Well, two things at least. First, that he could not contract leprosy himself or any other disease, and the sin that brought them about. Others could not draw close because they stood in danger of contracting the disease. Well, Jesus could not contract the disease. Jesus could not be affected by the disease. Jesus could not even be affected by the sin that brought about this disease. He was sinless. He was righteous. There was no guile upon his mouth. There wasn't that factor in his body that attracts disease to men. He was sinless. Another thing we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ is that his power was greater than the mighty leprosy. No cure for leprosy. The leper was helpless and hopeless. But the power of Jesus was mightier. He only had to say, "Be cleansed." And as soon as he had spoken, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. He overcame the leprosy. In the same way, he can overcome the sin that causes it. And we need to remember this. There would be no disease. There would be no leprosy if there was no sin. Disease is a consequence of sin. Leprosy is a consequence of sin. Any other illness, any other disease we suffer are consequences of sin. Jesus doesn't just have the power to take away the disease, he also has the power to take away sin. He was made sin for us. He who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God. He can overcome sin. The Bible says nothing shall be impossible with him. The leper might have felt that it was impossible for his leprosy to be taken away. You might be feeling as you sit there that it is impossible for your sin, whatever it might be, to be taken away. You may be enslaved to sin, whatever it is. You may be enslaved to lust. And you may be enslaved to anger, sinful anger. You may be enslaved to the sin of drunkenness. Or you may be enslaved to the sin of gossip and slander. I don't know what you are enslaved to. But the feeling you have about whatever it is that enslaves you is that you can't be rid of it. You can't be freed from it. You cannot be cured of it. You are a slave to it. Try as you have to be rid of it. You continue to suffer under it. You continue to be controlled by it. You have no power to be rid of it. Well, here is one who can free you from it. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same manner that he commanded the leprosy to flee, the leper to be cleansed, he can command you to be freed. He can free you from your sin. The third and final thing I want us to observe, and it's the attitude of Jesus toward his own success. Very different from the attitude we see from men who claim to be healers in our day. They promote themselves. They put posters all over the place advising the world about people they have healed and diseases they have overcome and the greatness they have attained as a consequence. Their status change. They walk on carpets. People carry Bibles for them. They don't mingle with the ordinary man. Because they are full of their own sense of self-importance. Listen to what Jesus does. In verse 43, he strictly warned the man and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go. Go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Why did Jesus do this? Why did he want the man to be quiet? Why did he speak so strongly to this man to be quiet? Well, the reasons, first of all, appears to be that there were legal steps to be taken before he would speak. And that Jesus was concerned about legality proves that he had not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. For this man to simply run and begin to proclaim abroad that Jesus had healed him would have been wrong. Jesus points out that legally, first of all, he must have his healing registered with one of the priests. And secondly, that he must do the required sacrifice. He needed to offer himself to those things which Moses commanded. He needed to do that. He needed to fulfill all righteousness. He needed to have a public bill of health as required by the law of Moses. To act against the law would, in a way, have caused Jesus problems. It would have invited unnecessary attention to the Lord Jesus. And at this moment in time, Israel was in a mood to have a Messiah who would free them from the shackles of their Roman rulers. And because of the great things Jesus was doing, they could easily have taken him and made him their king. So he says, do it by the book. Present yourself to the priest. Tell him what happened. This will be a testimony against them. They will not say, "Hey, look at this Jesus and the people he's healing." They don't care about the law. They don't care about righteousness. And they would have done anything to harm them. It was important that they were not given an opportunity to despise them and view them negatively. This would be a testimony against them. But another reason is that it might have been for the sake of this man's life. Going into the city could have exposed him to danger from those who might be tempted to think that he was still a leper, that he would infect them. He could have fallen victim to a mob justice. Wisdom therefore dictated that he doesn't go out to spread such a message abroad. Nonetheless, the man disobeyed the command. In verse 45, we read about it. However, he went out and began to proclaim. And he proclaimed it freely. He began to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. He disobeyed the command not to go out and proclaim the fact. And the result of that was that Jesus would not enter the city. Someone called R.A. Cole, he commented on this in these terms, and I quote, "Disobedience to the express command of Christ, even if undertaken for the best possible motives, can lead only to a hampering and hindering of Christ's work." And the work of Christ was hindered, wasn't it? Because Jesus would no longer enter the city to minister because of the disobedience of this man. Rather, he stayed in deserted places. Didn't want to be made king. His primary work at this moment in time was to preach. It wasn't to be a political activist. Indeed, I dare even say it wasn't to perform miracles. That wasn't his primary work. It was to preach the gospel. And at this moment in time, that was being hindered. Now, I kind of think that although this man disobeyed, he disobeyed for a good reason. He went and spoke about Christ. Some of us don't even speak about Christ. He's done a beautiful thing in your life. Perhaps he has healed you. He has saved you. But you don't even speak about him. He hasn't even stopped you. And you don't do it. You appear to be ashamed about it. For this man went and spread that message abroad. I must come to a conclusion, and there are a number of things I want to say, and they will be very quick. The first thing we learn from this account is that we must seek the Lord while he may be found. We must seek the Lord while he may be found. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't go to the leper. The leper came to him, we read in verse 40. And we must seek him while he may be found. The leper sought him. And he was not the only one who sought him. Because of the leper's work, although it was being done in disobedience, in verse 45, we read, "And they came to him from every direction." The leper had spoken about Jesus and what he had done. Some might have heard about him by some other means, but we read in the latter part of 45 that they came to him from every direction. He sought for him. Are you among those who are seeking for Jesus? Perhaps not to be healed of leprosy, but to be healed of sin. Are you seeking? We must seek the Lord while he may be found. Secondly, Jesus was willing to cleanse he who sought him. He who sought him came to him and said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And in verse 41, the Lord says, I am willing. I am willing. Is Jesus willing to save men? And is Jesus able to save men? Is he willing? Yes, he is. Perhaps you are saying to yourself, I have been a hypocrite. Surely, surely, you can't want to save me. But Jesus says, I am willing. I have hurt those who love me in many ways. I have sinned against many, and I have sinned against God, and I have sinned so much. My case is beyond cure. Surely you can't be willing to save me. Oh, Jesus says, I am willing. But I have been disobedient. I have heard the gospel so many times. People have come to me and pleaded with me to come to Christ. Surely you can't be willing to save a man such as I am. And the Lord says, I am willing. But I have lied and stolen. I have used drugs. I have abused others. I am immoral. But my life is dark. I'm not proud of myself. Surely, you cannot be willing to save a man such as I. And Jesus says, I am willing. But Jesus is also able to save. He's not just willing. He is able to save you. He is able to heal you. I am willing. Be cleansed, he says. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how deep you have gone into your sin. Doesn't matter how hopeless you feel. And it doesn't matter how much others have written you off. Doesn't matter how much you have tried in the past through your own effort to rescue yourself of sin. You are not beyond salvation. He is able to save you. And I say to you this morning, come to him as the leper did. Come to him. Come. Come, you lepers. Come, you who are needy. Come, you who are poor. Come, you who are wicked. Come. You who are winded and weak and worn, come, come and find healing at the feet of Christ. Come. Implore him as the leper did. Implore him and say to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, please. Make me clean. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Whatever your need might be, come, implore him. And he will say to you, I am willing. Be clean. Oh, I pray that you will not go away, not having spoken to Jesus. Speak to him right now. And say, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And I can assure you, he is willing. And he will make you clean. Amen.